All right. Thank you, Brother Brandon, Miss Andrea. I'm glad I didn't miss that one. Amen. That was good. Praise the Lord for that. Take your Bible tonight. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 1, please. The book of Romans and chapter 1 in your Bibles. I wanted to inform you, I just found out last night that it is Timothy Horton's birthday on Friday. And he is turning 16. And I talked to him yesterday. I said, now that sweet 16 never been kissed, right? And he said, right. Amen. And you pray for him. And is at the home. He's doing good. Got a few little ups and downs, but overall he's doing well. And just some good things in his life. But I sent all that to encourage you, if you want to give him a call this Friday. I think it'd be a good thing if we just inundated that place with calls on Friday. Amen? And let him know. So if you would like his number after the service, I've got it. And I'll warn him tomorrow and say, hey, Friday, it's all coming like a hailstorm. And so get ready. Get somebody on the phones. But anyhow, I do think he's in school during school hours, of course. I think there's some times after in the evening that would be good to catch him. So if you'd like to do that, see me. I'll get you the number after the service tonight. All right, Romans chapter 1. We're going to begin with verse number 18 in the Bible tonight. Book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible is very up to date. The Bible is not an ancient, dusty book. The Bible even tells us about the future. And the Word of God declares for us a picture of this wicked society in which we live. And He does it for us. He declares what it is because we have to put a guard on our hearts and our lives so it doesn't infiltrate us as Christians. And that's what Romans chapter 1 is trying to accomplish in the life of the Christian. So we're going to begin here. Verse number 18 of this passage of Scripture. Follow along then tonight as I read. Notice the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, don't you see a little bit of deception in the last part of that phrase? There are men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The truth is supposed to be righteous. Yeah. Amen? But there's ungodly men who do that. Now verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. So now God is saying here in this second verse, here verse 19, God showed it to them. They already know that they're unrighteous, right? God shows them already that they're unrighteous. Now, don't you think that would make them stop being unrighteous? Don't you think that would stop making them turn truth into unrighteousness and do truth by righteousness? It doesn't. It doesn't. Now, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Notice, so that they are without excuse. So God is saying that, hey, you know what's right. Even the world knows when they are taking wrong and taking truth and turning it into unrighteousness. Amen. The world knows it. And the Bible reminds us, God says, they are without excuse. No excuses for that crowd. No excuses. All right? Verse 21, because that when they knew God, so there was an innocent time in their life, right? When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They quit honoring and glorifying God in their life. What happened? They neither were unthankful. They lost their ability to be thankful. and became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. By the way, they do a lot of changing here, according to verse 23 and verse 25. They're always changing the truth. Changing the truth. Seems like a few years back I heard somebody talking about hope and change. Wonder if that has anything to do with this. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship, serve the creature more than the Creator. Well, that's dangerous. That's called humanism. Right. Worship and serving the creature more than the Creator. That's where we're at. Who is blessed forever? Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. Now, I don't even need to describe to you what verse 27 is talking about, do I? I don't even need to describe that. And actually, I don't really want to. Amen? And even as they did not like, they do what they like to do, don't they? Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's pray tonight. Father, bless, we pray, as we look into the Bible tonight, and just study thy word tonight and see what thy word brings about. We thank you for the difference, Lord, that you placed in your word between that which is holy and that which is profane. And I pray tonight that our hearts would see thy word tonight and have a greater love to cling to you and hold to you, Father, because of your word tonight. So guide us and direct us, open our hearts and our minds as we teach the Bible tonight. And use us for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. The world which we live in has an agenda today that it is desiring to place upon your heart and your mind. The world's agenda always puts on a nice, beautiful face because that is the hook. That's the hook, the beauty of it. Satan always gives it a good name and a good appearance, but as Pinocchio found out, you cannot go and just keep drifting and go to that island before long the gate shuts behind you. I'm a grandpa, I know about Pinocchio. Amen? But we do live in a world today that has an evil agenda, but it has such a beautiful face. Now, where did that face of evil come from? Why does it look good, but yet so bad in the end result? Well, the Bible tells us, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Notice what the Bible declares to us here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I think I got the wrong passage. But here's a verse for you. Somebody find this for me. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Did somebody find it? It's not there. It's there somewhere, I promise. Amen. I wrote the wrong reference down. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Thank you, Brother Bingham. He's the Bible scholar around here. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11:14. No, you're still wrong. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Let's read it. For if he did, is that right? Where are we at now? I'm in 2 Corinthians. I'm in chapter 11. Oh, I'm in verse 4. I'm sorry. Sorry about that, folks. I just got to let you have a good laugh every once in a while. But it's in the Word. Amen. That's the important thing, is that it's there. Look at verse 14. This is where it comes from. Actually, verse 13 gives us context. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves. Oh, we hear a lot about transforming people themselves in this day and age into the apostles of Christ. That's where the appearance is, see? There's an appearance there. But notice verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So the Bible's saying it's no strange thing to understand that there are deceitful workers who transform themselves into the angels of light, because they get that self that from the devil, who has transformed himself as an angel of light. Now notice, Satan cannot appear the way he is, because nobody would actually want him. Amen? And by the way, Satan's not some guy running around in a red suit with a pitchfork, smelling like smoke. Amen? That's Baptists who smoke cigarettes. They smell like smoke. Amen? They're the ones. But that's not Satan. That's not the devil. The devil is transformed into an angel of light. So his greatest disguise is to appear like he looks beautiful, like he has something good to offer. Otherwise, he could not allow people, nobody would accept what he does and what he purveys to man. So the agenda in the world is there, according to the Word of God. Satan has his hook, and it comes from Satan, who is transformed as an angel of light. Now, the point of the message tonight is to teach us to guard our hearts from this world. To guard our hearts. Our hearts are not stable. Amen? We have an old nature. This old world we have a tendency to get connected to this whole world. And God's teaching us, guard our heart. Guard your heart. Don't allow your heart to accept that which is wrong. Don't allow your heart to have a love or a connection to that which is wrong, because Satan is behind most things. Amen? And by the way, Satan also tries to take what is good and right and twist it and give it a wrong appearance. It's unusual. You know, if you go knock on a door today, you knock on a door, you tell them from church, you'd be surprised at people that think how you're an evil, rotten guy. What is that? That's satanic deception. Whereas the same people will accept a crowd that is evil yet looks good on the outside. And so I say to you tonight that there has to be a Christian who guards their heart from these things in the world. The world will try to penetrate you. And it's Satan masqueraded. That's all it is. It's not God looking good. It's Satan masqueraded. My wife showed me an unbelievably horrific video about there was some men's group meeting in a large, more liberal church. And they started this men's conference up there with a man who was a male stripper. A men's conference. And he was doing all the awful things. And I won't even go into it. But he was doing all kinds of awful. That's how they started that. It was awful. I couldn't even describe to you some of the nasty stuff. And thank God there was a guy who got up. I wouldn't hang around the liberal crowd anyway, but he did. But at least he got up and he said that was wrong. He knocked it right down. He said that's a spirit of Jezebel. That's what he called it. I was like, well, hey, maybe there's some good liberals out there. Amen. And that's what he said. And the pastor of that church got up and said, you're done. Get out of here. Kicked him out of his pulpit. Man, I almost wanted to have him come in if he wasn't still connected to a liberal denomination. But, you know, that's the way our world goes. Where Christians are beginning to accept these things because they're not guarding their heart with the Word of God. And these things Satan will try to get you to capitulate to. He'll try to soften you up. It's, you know, it's not that bad. You know, they're good people too. And he has an agenda, a mantra that he gives that says, okay. And what he does is he's beginning to soften it, but really he's whittling on the heart. And you know what? You can't trust your heart. You got to always trust the Word of God. Christian, trust the Word. Trust the Word of God. Don't trust what's going on in this world today. Keep your heart guarded away from these things. Now, let's go back, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. And I'll look at the passage of Scripture. And I want you to see how God explains this. And what God wants the Christian to understand in the world in which we live. By the way, there's less and less preachers preaching on this kind of thing today. Less and less Christians standing in the right place. Many times they're afraid to be called the old Bible believer. But I want to tell you something. It's them old Bible believers one day that are going to see the blessings of God. Amen. That's who they are. They're going to see the blessings of God one day. Now, I want you to notice some things that the passage talks about, and I brought some of these things out earlier. Notice verse 22, what it talks about. Verse 21 is talking about a foolish and a darkened heart. And these are these people who follow and are sucked into this. And then notice it says, professing themselves to be wise. Now, there is the outward appearance. There's the outward appearance. So I want to give you 4 points tonight about this. Notice, first of all, identify the lies. Identify the lies. See for your own self the lies. And notice the lie here that is produced and shown in verse number 22 is a lie that demonstrates that they are wise. And so what are they trying to do? They're trying to affect your mind. Trying to affect your mind. Make your mind think different things. You got to guard your mind. You got to guard your mind. Now, I remember when I was growing up, back in the 80s. Some of you are like, man, you're old. And the rest of you are like, boy, you're young. Amen. Thank God for you. Amen. But I was growing back up in the 80s. I remember homosexuality was just starting to get accepted. And the church was like, oh, horrible. You know, and people, it was considered horrible. And I mean, terrible. But little by little, what happened? Society began to accept it. Little by little, it just began to be commonplace. And today, if you are not for it, you're the bad guy. You're the bad guy. So it's gone from being repulsive to being accepted, now to be turned to righteousness and good. Because after all, aren't they loving people also? And how dare you say anything against loving nice people? Do you see the appearance of Satan in any of this? Satan is transformed into an angel of light. And I'm saying that because we always have to keep our heart guarded about these things. There's a pastor who is a, now he's a homosexual pastor defending homosexuality in the pulpit. And here's what his lie is for justifying that. His lie is, he says, there's only 6 passages of Scripture in all the Bible that talk about homosexuality. In all the Bible, there's only 6 parts in it. Boy, God sure must not have meant that it was that big of an issue. I don't care if God said it one time. If God said it one time, it's true. God don't even have to repeat it. But God even mentioned it 6 times for emphasis. Amen? And so, but what we're getting from them is all the excuses and the lies. It's now entered into Christianity. When I was growing up, it was repulsive to Christianity. And so I say to you, the devil is working on people's minds and hearts to accept these lies. And the lies have, first of all, an appearance. Now, this Bible translations have the same progression of evil. I said Bible translations have the same progression. It started out the King James, and then they started adding versions that are real close to the King James. And little by little, they got more and more broad. And now you have versions that are so far from the originals because they've progressed. They've accepted the wrong versions, and then it just keeps progressing from there. Can I tell you, that is Satan's method. He don't want to get the whole thing at once. He knows he's not going to get the whole thing at once. So he's going to get the whole thing. He's going to get one little bite at a time. If he can get one little bite at a time and get that one bite established, then he can go to the next one, and he can go to the next one. And by the way, this transgender stuff today is nothing more than a progression of homosexuality. And actually, it's a progression of the 50s, rock music. It started there, went into the 60s, the hippie movement, the free love, the free sex stuff, went into that. Went into the 70s, 80s, and now look what we got. Transgender. And by the way, it'll progress. I believe before my lifetime's over, something like as wicked as bestiality will become accepted. Because Satan will not end. And this Bible even talks about changing the glory of God into creatures and into 4-footed beasts. It's coming, folks. It's coming. And so I say to you, we have to identify the lies. There's an appearance in the lies. Secondly, The lie always is a plea to the heart. The lie is a plea to the heart. Satan always goes after the heart with the lie. He goes after the heart. You know why? Because we're deceived by our hearts. We think we know our heart, but our heart we really don't know. Only God knows the heart. God only knows the heart. Man doesn't know the heart. So Satan has to make a plea to the heart. Oh, make it feel so good. You better watch out for feelings. Amen. You say, Pastor, you're an old fuddy-duddy. Thank you. I appreciate that. Amen. You say, you're becoming a dinosaur. Don't get me that old yet. Amen. But the truth is, our Bible way of thinking, people's Bible way of thinking, according to the Bible, is becoming a way of a dinosaur. But let me tell you something. It's still God and His Word. Amen. Satan can put all the mess in this world he wants, but he still cannot get rid of God. He can't do it. He is still under God's authority and power. You know, God's allowed him to be loose and run around here a little while. But one of these days, God's going to take him and put him in hell. And like an evangelist I know used to say, he said, I think there's a sewer in the bottom of hell. And I think we're going to take the lid off the sewer and God's going to stuff the devil down in the sewer in the bottom of hell and leave him down there forever and ever. Hey, I'll tell you something. That's where the end leads. And that's why every Christian has to be aware. It comes across our commercials. It comes across our internet. It comes in the advertising in our society. He has a plea to the heart. There was a commercial. There was a commercial on TV, and it shows a young black guy, and he walks into a liquor store. And he buys this liquor. It's hard liquor. And he takes it home. And as he walks home, he helps a man do a few things. He helps an old man do a few things. And then as he's going along, he's waving to everybody. You know, he's a real kind guy. Everybody loves this guy. And then he takes his hard liquor. And it's shown the hard liquor. And he goes home and he gives it to his mom. He gives her a kiss and hugs his mom. Let me tell you something. That is sickening to a real Christian. Because it's changing the truth into a lie. That is Satan's tactic. And I want to tell you, every Christian's got to beware. They got to guard their heart. We cannot allow Satan to penetrate the recesses of our mind and our heart. We can't afford it. Because if he can get one step in, he'll take two. And if he gets two, he'll take three. And somewhere along, and the problem is, many Christians think the standard is way down here when they're already displeasing in the eye of God. Hey, why not put the standard right where it ought to be? Right in the beginning. Say no to Satan right in the beginning, his deception. We see it in the textbooks. We see it even in the news. It's a penetration of the lies of Satan to make culture. And by the way, he's just getting people ready for one world government. That's all he's getting ready for. Getting the world ready, getting people's minds conditioned. And by the way, that they should believe a lie, the Bible talks about. That they're going to believe a lie. They're going to be sucked into a lie. You say, do people believe lies? I can prove to you right now that there are at least 2 billion people that believe a lie. You say, can you prove that, preacher? Can you prove that at least 2 billion people believe a lie? I can prove it to you right now. You want me to do it? Well, come back Sunday and I'll give it to you. Amen. No, I'll tell you. There's over 2 billion Muslims in the world. There's over 2 billion Catholics in the world. and ain't both of them right?
That's right.
So, by the way, in my book, there's 4 billion that are wrong.
Right. Yeah, right.
But that point proves right there at least 2 billion are wrong. So I got news for you. The devil is a deceiver and a liar. So he has an appearance. He has a plea. The third thing is he has a progression. He has a progression. He doesn't stop once he gets a foothold in one area. He don't go for the whole bite. He goes for it all. You know, I like old Brother Joe back there. Amen?
Amen.
He likes the hard preaching.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to use an illustration about Brother Joe. I don't think Brother Joe would do this, okay? And I should have asked his permission before the service, but anyway, oh well, we'll throw that one to the wind. But follow what I'm trying to say here. You know the devil could get Brother Joe to be a drunk? Now, he can't do it overnight, right? But the devil can say a little thing today. He can say, you know, that guy, he may be a drunk, but he's not that bad of a guy. He's a nice guy. He's our neighbor across the street. And then the neighbor across the street invites Brother Joe over, and you know what? They hit it off. They hit it off pretty good. And then they hit it off a little good, and then, hey, why don't you come on over for dinner the next night? Okay, well, we'll come over. All right, we come over for dinner. All right, well, you come over for dinner, and hey, I got a little wine out here. No, Joe says, like Joe likes to say, no, no. Is that a good impression? Am I getting there? No, I ain't going to touch that stuff. Oh, okay, no problem, no problem. But still in his mind, see, the devil's got him three little baby steps on the way. And boy, before long, he's thinking, you know, I shouldn't have offended that guy. He was kind enough to bring me over to his house and give me a free dinner. He was a nice guy. And, you know, I probably shouldn't have been unkind to him. So if he ever invites me over, you see him across the lawn and the guy says, hey, how you doing? Oh, Joe says, hi. Hey, how you doing? And the guy says, hey, I'm sorry if I offended you the other day. I'm sorry about that. And Joe says, no, you know, I was kind of thinking that I was kind of rude about to you. I'm sorry about that. Well, hey, if you ever, you know, come on over. So he invites him over again. And, boy, you don't want to be rude. Don't want to be unkind. Maybe I'll just try a little bit just to appease him and make him feel bad. And before long, Joe tastes that little bit of liquor and Joe says, man, this is good. And he goes home that night and Miss Kathy smells his breath. And she goes in the kitchen and finds that frying pan. Joe, where you been? Well, I didn't want to offend that neighbor over there, so I took a little. But you know what? In the back of Joe's mind, he's thinking, you know, it tasted pretty good. It wasn't that bad. Maybe I'll try again when Kathy ain't around. Amen? Maybe I'll try again. And he'll go over there again, and before long, he's hooked. The devil didn't take the whole bite at once. He took little incremental steps.
Right.
But he got him to the same spot. And that's exactly why America is accepting the transgender agenda.
Yeah. Right.
Because little by little, all the way from the 50s and the 60s, we've been whittled down in our convictions. And the world has said, you Bible believers, you're too mean. You're too hard-headed. You're just old Bible thumpers. Thank God! Of the old Bible thumpers.
Amen.
Who hold to the Bible and believe the Word of God. Thank God for that kind. You're never going to be popular in the world. You'll never fit in with the world. But praise God, you will not have the mind of the world either. Amen. So notice it has a progression. Fourthly, the lies of the world have a purpose. Do you know the purpose of all this is bigger than what we see? The purpose of all this is so Satan can take God's creation and make it corruptible. Because didn't God, when God made man in the Garden of Eden, didn't he say it's good? Didn't he make man good? So if Satan can take what God does good and make it corruptible, then he can corrupt God, because the end result is that Satan hates God. And the Bible talks about that right here in Romans chapter 1. Notice, if you would, in verse number 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. He's saying this is the one that's in control. This is the one that's in charge. It's God, the one that's in charge. And that's what Satan hates. And do you know what? If old Joe ended up becoming a drunk, do you know who would get the glory for that? Wouldn't be God. It'd be that old devil. And that is the agenda behind the scenes of this world that we do not always see. So identify the lies. Identify the lies. Secondly, be absorbed in the truth. Be absorbed in the truth. You know, the more you're in the truth, the more the world's lies will become evident. The more you know, it's just like a bank teller. You know how they teach a bank teller to know a counterfeit? They don't teach it to them by giving them a bunch of counterfeits. They teach them by getting them used to the right kinds. And then once a counterfeit is slipped in there, poof, they can identify it because they know the right ones. You don't have to learn the world's ways to know the world's there. Amen? Amen? You don't have to dig in the garbage to know it's pretty bad down there. You don't have to do that. And so I say to you tonight that we have to be absorbed in the truth. We have to love God with all our heart. We cannot have some other love for this world in our heart. We got to have a heart that wholly loves God and seeks God. That's it. That's why God said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. God said, don't give the devil 1% of it. Give God 100% of it, because if you give him 1%, he'll take 2. And if you give him 2, he'll take 3, until you are whittled down so much that the light of Christ doesn't even show hardly anymore. So we have to be absorbed in the truth. Stay in church. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, the Bible says. Let the word of God be there. Be absorbed in the truth. Let it get in you. Let it get a hold of you. Let it motivate you. That's what the word of God is meant to do. The world is meant to do anything, turn everything against God, because they become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. How sad. Notice verse 25. What they do is they change the truth of God into a lie. They take truth and twist it around and make a lie. You know, a church I was talking to you about where they had that evil male stripper there in a men's type setting, men's type group. The pastor or the preacher got up and condemned it. And you know what that preacher did? He stood up and kicked him out. He said, "You're done. Get out of here." And he had to get up then and justify his reasoning for kicking him out. And you know what he said? He said, "He should have talked to me about that before he got up here." You know what he was trying to do? He's trying to make that guy look bad for standing up and declaring the word of God. I tell you what, that is how Satan works today. He's always going to get through. And that's why a Christian has to stand. And many times in our life, God calls us to be bold in the world that we live in. God says, don't put up with that nonsense. Don't allow it in your heart. Don't allow it in your mind. Isaiah Sullivan is probably 2 months ago. And it was a cold day. And I was right in these neighborhoods over here. And I knocked on the door. I left track in the door of a little lady there. And that's my walking area sometimes in the morning. So I left track there. I was soul winning in there. And little lady came out. And she didn't answer the door. And so I left the track. And then I left. Well, then she came out, called up to me. She was mad. "What do you want? What do you want?" So I went back and talked to her. And told her, I said, "Hey, it's good to meet you. I'm Pastor Larson. I pastor a little church right up here on the corner." She stepped back. She said, "I know who you are." I said, "Well, let me autograph your Bible then." Since you know, I said, "Come to church sometime." Listen, I know who you are, she said. You know what she's saying? She knows what I stand for. And I hope she does. And I love her in the Lord. Amen. And she's welcome to this church if she can stand me. Amen. But I'll say this. The world is taking people and deceiving them today. People that you'd never think are falling for these lies. I mean, Christians that have been know the truth for 40, 50 years are slowly getting sucked in. Like a vacuum cleaner. And it's sad. But it's this old devil. And it always reminds me of something. God is coming soon. God is. These clouds are going to part one day. And you know, we don't know the day and the hour. God didn't tell us. Angels in heaven don't even know the day or the hour. But one of these days, these clouds are going to part. Jesus is going to come back again. And the Bible says, they will be without excuse. Without excuse. They're not going to say, oh God, we were just trying to do your work. God said, no, you weren't. You were changing my truth into a lie. You were taking what was true and twisting it to form your agenda. You're simply backed by Satan. I tell you, we have to always guard our heart as a Christian. Because these truths are evident and they will come out someday. We've got to understand they absorb us. They hit us from every direction. They make us turn into a creature that really does not know God. Because remember something, Christian. You may be saved and have a new nature, but we still have the old nature too. That old nature's still there. And that old nature, we got to keep it on the altar and keep that old nature in the Bible. And keep that old nature loving God and praying and serving the Lord. And doing everything we can to win everybody in the Lord. Because we know that day's coming. So the Bible tells us an amazing thing here in verse 26. Notice this. For this cause, God gave them up. God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. Horrible. And likewise also the men doing these evil things. Why? Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Notice the mind. You see that? God gave them over to a reprobate mind. to do those things which are not convenient or appropriate. So I say to you, God identifies these lies in His Word. You know, when you're in the Word, you can understand the lies of the world. The Word is that stack of real money. The devil in it is the counterfeit. That's what Satan wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that the counterfeit is the real and that the real is the counterfeit. So don't buy it, Christian. Stand, know your word, and be a light where God leads you. Be a light in that workplace. Let them know from the Word of God. Because you see, what's interesting about the Word of God, even when it comes to an evil person, a person who has adapted all these mentalities, I mean, all of them, they got the rainbow flag all over. I mean, all of these people who have sucked into these mentalities, the Word of God, the Bible says that they knew God. That they knew God. And they chose not to serve God. I hate to live with God working on my conscience and my heart all the time. I hate to live like that. I hate to live like some people do that just don't give up doing right. They just keep doing the wrong thing again and again and again. It's like a bad habit in their life. And they vex their conscience every day and every hour. You know, that's no way to live. God gives us victory. God gives us victory through His Word. Then lastly here, verse 28. Understand that there is a false love that's permeated by the world. It says here in verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God. They know it's coming. See, God tells us something we need to know about them. He tells us that we need to know that they know judgment is coming. See? So God's saying here, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now, it's not saying go kill somebody like that. It's saying in the judgment of God one day, He will declare that sentence to them. That's God's word. Boy, if that crowd were to see the holiness of God, they'd call Him even evil. Because the righteousness cannot stay, or unrighteousness cannot be around righteousness. So they have to twist it, make it different. So I say to you tonight, remember what, be careful, guard your heart from this kind of thing, and always be a Christian who loves God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Let God fill your soul and your heart every day, and the lies will come alive. You'll be able to see them. You'll be able to identify them. And once you can identify them, you can say, no, we're not going to have that in my life. We're not going to have that in our home. We're not even going to put that in the trunk of our car. Amen. Yeah. We're going to have what God wants us to have in our life, and God will bless us. So I say to you, Christian, tonight, the key to this is guarding your heart. Don't just allow yourself to fall in love with everything that the world falls in love with, because that goes diabolically against our love for God. Our love for God should be so important to us and so primary in all of our lives that the love of this world is not even of interest, not even a desire. And it's because we're a Christian that can identify and know God. You know, God even tells us, by their fruits you shall know them. You know, by what they produce, by what comes from that mentality, what it produces. And 9 times out of 10, it produces destruction. It produces a purveyance of evil, while at the same time masqueraded with a pretty little face, but yet it's deep down evil. So Christian, guard your heart. Stand firm in the Lord and watch God bless your life. Because we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We're just passing through. We're just traveling through, folks. Amen? This ain't the end destination. We're just living out of a suitcase right now. You know? But there's coming a day when we get to unpack. When we get to heaven. And that day is going to be worth it all. When we see Jesus. Amen? Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes.